Hi and hello and welcome to the RBR.music podcast. My name is Steve Curley, and as always I'm joined by the creator of the RBR.music Instagram page, Jordan Murray. Hello.
Hello.
Where each week, in true RBR fashion, we're bringing you classic and new album reviews. It's our mission to cut through the noise to discuss the sound. On the RBR.music radar this episode, we're going to be discussing Los Angeles rock band The Red Hot Chili Peppers' 12th album, Unlimited Love. At this point, Jordan, I'm going to hand the reins to you.
Right then, The Red Hot Chili Peppers. I was a huge fan. I'm still a fan, but not as fanatic as I used to be. I found other music. For all the hype and expectations surrounding Frusciante's return, not at least of which from me, after multiple listens, it's hard to come away with the impression that Unlimited Love is a particularly impressive addition to the Chili Peppers back catalogue. Essentially, the album is the sound of a band casually jamming together with a long-lost member for the first time in well over a decade, and attempting to rekindle some of the classic magic. Well, that's what it is, isn't it? Which is to say, Unlimited Love is a decidedly low-key affair, not concerned about competing with the band's past greatness, but rather more focused on the simple joys of being in the same room and jamming. I do think it's a jam sort of session album. If this came out in 2003, 2004, after By The Way, I think people would really be loving it, buzzing off it. A lot of time's passed since the album By The Way. It almost sounds like, we were talking about this before we started recording, Steve. It almost sounds like when they were trying to come up with songs for By The Way or for Stadium Arcadium and they didn't quite make the cut. It's like this is what they're left with. But yeah, go on. You're going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you have summed it up quite well. We're talking about a band that have sort of spread themselves over four decades. You know, it's pretty impressive what they have done, and of course they've kind of straddled independent kind of rock fandom to then massive commercial success. And I'm not gonna lie, that's when I liked them. You know, 1999, that was right on tune with where I was as 15-year-old, and you know, grunge has dipped away and Britpop has sort of starting to waver and indie hadn't appeared, and they were at one point our probably biggest cool rock band in the world, wouldn't you agree at that point?
Yeah,
it's definitely that 3 to 4 year, well, sorry, 5 year period, isn't it really, up to Stadium Arcadium. I really enjoyed listening to this. You're spot on, it should have come out 15 years ago because I think the music generation might have moved on. I think sadly that broader audience that was there at that time would have lapped this up then.
Yeah, I think it sounds like an attempt to remind themselves of their own magic, and I hope they get a bit more risky. The members don't ask too much from each other, but the absolute complacency to fulfil the expectations of an audience without risking an inch just is deafening. They're just too complacent. I think Blood Sugar Sex Magik, when Frusciante left the band, that was obviously fraught with tension within the band, and they came out with a great album, Blood Sugar. And then Californication, he rejoined the band, so he was a good few years in self-exile doing heroin. So
as
he comes back, and as you do, he comes back, and obviously everything's off kilter a bit. Tension's probably still there. Another great album. By The Way just seems like a celebration of how much fun they're having. They're back as a unit. Stadium Arcadium, like a lot of double albums, is just too bloated.
Yeah.
And that's when he leaves the band again. So Unlimited Love, it's just sounds like there's no tension. Everyone's getting on too well, is my point. I think you do need a bit of tension, a bit of disagreement, a bit of friendly rivalry maybe, to make it. You look back at amazing albums. You don't want to make a mediocre album. What's the point? So, like, you look at the Beatles, The Who, they never got on with each other. Oasis.
Yeah, famous. Yeah.
I mean, not every band that's made an amazing album haven't got on. I mean, some of them do get on and make great albums, but I think the proof is in the pudding here, where they're getting on so well, which is good, I suppose, but not for my ears.
I think one thing that I noticed when doing a little bit of research into this album and sort of maybe a bit more surrounding it, they've got their global stadium tour later this year in 2022.
The live acts are meant to be absolutely outstanding. They're like so extraordinary. I've never seen them live. I've got the live albums. I've got obviously seen them live on television, but it's not really the same thing. But they take the studio sound and just turn it into something completely different. So I think some of these songs are going to work really well live, like What's Your Thinking and The Heavy Wing.
Do you think that they want to be able to revive their kind of past commercial glories? Obviously, this album has a lot of nod to that.
It's so anti-risk. It's something your mum would quite happily listen to. They're meant to be a rock band. They're meant to be funk rock. They're meant to be counterculture.
Is that not maybe where some boys in their late 40s, well, 50s, I'm assuming now, maybe are now, and you know, music is definitely, you and I talk about this all the time, and I'm sure many, many of the RBR Instagram followers, you know, music has changed. There is less of a movement, like a larger commercial movement that relates to guitars and genres of a previous era. And I'm not talking about 1950s and 60s rock and roll. I'm talking about lads being sort of grungy, Britpoppy or indie and rocky. There's just so little of it anymore. That who are you appealing to? You're not probably appealing to the 19-year-olds and 20-somethings that you used to. So you have to kind of...
No, that's true. I just think it's a real shame because they have the talent. You look at the most earliest stuff, that is so eccentric. Is like funk rock.
Frock, as you say.
Frock, yeah, that's what I'm going to copyright that. Frock, funk rock. They throw loads of genres from hip hop to dance to all sorts of stuff. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. And then you get it more concentrated, more controlled with Mother's Milk, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, but still rocking. And then they move on again to Californication, By the Way, Stage of Mark Ageum. And then with By the Way, which I think is a really great album, they just seem to have got stuck with that sort of crowd-pleasing music. But like you say, it's who is their audience? But I think they're better than this. I think they're better. And Rick Rubin is back producing. He produced Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and he's produced Johnny Cash. He's produced the Beastie Boys. He knows his stuff. I'm just surprised he would let this album out as it is.
Which, yeah, and I suppose, you know, how many great records do bands really write? I suppose that's maybe...
Yeah, well, I summarise it as... It's a good record, just not a great one. Yeah, I think there was a lot of hype with John Frusciante returning.
Mainly from you.
Mainly from me. I was on all the blogs as different aliases.
No one has blogs anymore, Jordan. Come on, you run an Instagram page.
Oh, well, there you go.
No one knew, mate. No one knew. You were on the blogs and no one...
Yeah, that's why I moved on to rbr.music Instagram page, because
everyone's on TikTok and Instagram,
dancing to this music.
So then if you were to sort of surmise this album then as a sort of overall, I know we've discussed kind of the band and how this album fits. Well,
as in a star rating?
Well, we can lead to star rating, but yeah, just if you can give me a little bit of a kind of a summary of where you would leave this if you were sort of saying do or don't listen.
It's... Not a stepping stone, a building block for what they can achieve. And I think the live shows, they will be exceptional with these songs. But where I'm at with it, like I said before, it's a good record, just not a great one. Anthony Cadiz said they listened to the most earliest albums, which the most earliest albums is in the 80s when John Frusciante wasn't even in the band. So I'm not sure if he meant Mother's Milk and Blood Sugar, or if he meant like Freaky Styley. But anyway, he said they listened to the most earliest albums and they listened to a lot of blues, and that's what formed the album. If you listen to the album, what he says here is completely not true. It's like, well, they might have listened to it, but they never put it into practice.
No, I didn't hear any of that. I pretty much listened to the whole album thinking you could blindfold me and play this, and I would just 100% know it was Chili Peppers. I would possibly think it was from an album around that late 90s, early 2000s era.
Exactly. If you weren't a huge fan, you'd just think, oh, this is... Yeah.
Yeah, just, unheard album tracks for me, or unheard... Yeah. And I think that's...
B-sides.
Which is what we said, which is not... It's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. No. So... okay.
Just a thing. So everything is really just a thing. Absolutely everything we talk about on this podcast is just a thing.
Well, less of my it's a thing more of star rating. What's this one getting, Jordan?
Okay, on the rbr.music Instagram page, I reviewed this album. Go and have a read of it if you like. I gave it 3.5 out of 5, but now I'm sat here talking to you, Steve. That 0.5, I believe, is because I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to be take myself away from it, from being a fan, and just listen to it, I'd give it 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair score. Like we said, we're not listening to anything we've not heard before. We enjoy listening to what we are listening to, and it's there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I think expectations from a band such as the Chillies are always going to be high. But yeah, there we go. So Jordan's rbr.music rating on the podcast is downgraded to 3 out of 5. So as with each episode, it's now time to look at our feature tracks. 3 tracks: the good, the bad, the rad. And as it says in the tin, we have a good track, a bad track, and a particularly rad track. As Jordan is our resident Chillies fan, I've given him all 3 to lead with on this album. I have got a little bit of absolutely. I've got a little side.
I wasn't expecting that.
No. Well, I think it's best to come from you. You come from a bit more experience than I do with this one. I do have a track that I really enjoyed, which I'll mention, but. Over to you, Jordan. Let's hear the good track.
Okay, the good track is The Heavy Wing. It's worth a listen. I think it features John Frusciante's magic in his guitar playing. There's gorgeous singing and by Anthony Cadiz, with Chad Smith's impeccable percussion, and it's all anchored by Flea's unshakable funk. And I think also that'll be a highlight in the live shows, so watch out for that.
Yeah, I actually enjoy that one. Listened to that one a couple of times, and when we talked about The Good, The Bad, The Rad, mentioned that one and re-listened to it, and actually, yeah, it's a really good track. I'm a big fan of Here Ever After. I was always going to like this track because it could have been put on Californication and you wouldn't know any different, in my opinion.
I think this is also a crowd pleaser, almost a sing-along crowd pleaser. It's going to do well on the live shows. Yeah. It's Yeah, I think you're right. It's pretty much is that the second track, is it?
Track 2, yeah.
Am I right in thinking?
Yeah.
Track 2. Second track. It's can you remember what the first track is? Black Summer.
Oh, that's Black Summer, and it's that's their first release. Yeah.
So with Black Summer and Here Ever After, I think that is as close as you're going to get to Californication and By the Way. And I think that's a good thing. And I was like, those two songs, I was getting impressed and thinking, where are they going to take this? Yeah. And rather than take it higher, it just kind of mellowed out into the abyss.
Okay, well, let's move on to more negative viewpoints. What's your bad track, Jord?
I think this song could have been created by an AI that got told to create a song for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And that track is Poster Child. It's just guitar, a bit of rapping, a bit of singing, a bit of funky bass. It's a caricature of what they're all about. It's just like stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. It's like,
yeah. Well, I said to you tonight, I don't know if it's still even around these days, but if anyone remembers the game Guitar Hero back in the day, where you played a pretend plus guitar, to many of this sort of track, I feel like it's like the fake version of a track from one of those games.
One that didn't make it onto.
They've not got the rights for the band, so they've sort of done their own version. And there'll be a guy with a skinhead and tattoos playing a bass, but it obviously won't be someone from the Chili Peppers. Someone with dark hair and a heavy fringe. You know, I didn't enjoy it at all. I actually fast forwarded it a couple of times. I thought it was a bit naff. Well then, Jord, let's take it away with the rad track.
So the rad track is a bit controversial because I think it could slip into the realms of shopping store muzak. It's aquatic mouth dance, and I really like the surreal lyrics. I like the bass. Flea's bass is just great. I like the drumming. I like when the horns come in.
It's quite a busy track, isn't it? I mean, you just about to mention the horns, and it starts with this slap bass, very Chili Peppers, got very recognizable, and it It is a really fun track, though, and I think sometimes our rad track doesn't have to be the best track. It's just the one that is the most interesting.
I think it's really interesting. I just enjoy it because there's so much going on, and maybe that's a hark back to the earlier stuff, like in Freaky Styly, when they were just throwing everything in the kitchen sink, everything that they could think of. I like this. The only reason it may sound a bit like Muzak in a shopping centre is because of the horns. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm really enjoying the horns, and another time I listen to it, I'm like, all right, I'm not too sure about this. But I'm putting this as my rad track because it does sound a bit Chili Peppers 80s. It does sound a bit of 90s Chili Peppers. It does sound a bit like 2000 Chili Peppers. It has a bit of everything. And I think it works.
Good. Well, I think we picked three good and rad out songs there, and I think we have definitely agreed on the weird poster child bad track. So thank you very much, Jordan. We do appreciate this. Again, nice one, everyone, for listening. Please do take some time to listen to this album. It is good. We've probably been a little scathing because of who the band are. Jordan's a big fan and has been for a long time. I'm a commercial fan and have sort of good, really positive memories of this time in my life. And do spend some time to listen to Unlimited Love. Chili Peppers back doing what we all loved them doing 20 years ago. Do take some time to read the rbr.music review. Leave a comment, tell us if you love us or hate us, and if there's anything else you want us to talk about, please put it on there. Do please like and subscribe, and feel free to leave any reviews about the podcast as well. We'd love hearing from you guys, and we hope to speak to you again soon. Thanks again for listening. Bye, guys.
And check out my blog.